Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show.
A podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Welcome back.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show. I have a fun thing to announce.
Oh, do go on.
I didn't
get a heads up. I didn't
tell you. There's two things, but this one I want to share is, so Garmin reached out to me to come speak at the headquarters to like all of their people, about injury prevention with running.
Fun.
Because they have a whole group of runners with in-house too that are training for, races and stuff. So I was super excited and honored to be asked to come speak about it. And then, of course, as I'm running, that's when I do my thinking a lot of the time. So I'm like, thinking through, okay, I'm going to talk about this and like just kind of creating an outline, because I could talk about it forever and we need to limit it to a certain amount of time and not make it boring. So I'm thinking about this ahead of time. So I'm on this run and, you know, you have to have a little bit of, you know, self-confidence to be going into this. I'm like, okay, I'm talking about this. I'm going to talk about that. Oh, and how important form is and blah, blah, blah. And wipe out. My left ankle gives away. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I took a huge tumble. I'm okay. And it's my ankle that always gives way. But usually I catch myself. This time, I had a fight with the sidewalk.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so familiar with this.
Running can be a combat sport.
Well, and we
sport.
Don't bounce like we did when we were 20.
No, we don't. And it's like, do you think to tuck and roll? No. Because you're like, suddenly the sidewalk is in your face and you're like, I forgot to tuck and roll. And it's like, there wasn't enough notice. So I scraped up my hands. Both hips had huge bruises. It was a whole ordeal. And I was like, yeah, I'm a little humbled right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So I got up. And I'm fine, but it was interesting that, you know, I was thinking about how do we prevent injuries,
yeah.
Right? And then I become injured. And of course, this isn't one of those injuries that occurs with like overuse or something, right? It's an acute, I fell. But in thinking about it, no matter what, no matter how hard we try to prevent an injury with running and we do all the good things, it happens. It's going to happen. And we, as athletes, need to have a plan of action for when it does. Because there's a very, very few people who never experience a running injury. And I just feel like we all need to rub elbows with them or somehow, like, have it rub off on us and it doesn't work.
If you're out there, send us the memo on how that works.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you, you're missing out on lots of important growth opportunities.
Yes. Okay. So I have a blog post that I wrote about what to do when you sustain a running injury. And we're talking about acute running injuries. And I'm not talking about just a fall. It's when we start to notice that something is wrong. The sooner you address that issue and be honest with yourself that something's happened, the better. The better the outcome. You're seeking help and doing something about it a lot earlier and not ignoring it. Because the longer something goes on, the longer it usually takes to heal from that and the more time off of your sport. So our goal is to prevent having to take any time off of the sport. So I wrote a blog post about this and it is, I send the link all the time. In fact, it's on my frequently asked questions on my website because it's like, oh, just copy paste. Cause I get texts, I get emails, help, this thing is going on, start here. And then, you know, if you need me, We'll go there, but let's start with these tips. So let's talk about that first stage of an injury, and that's the first 24 hours. Okay. So during this stage, we're going to rest from our activity. And we're going to take note. Is there noticeable swelling and pain? Okay. If that's the case, then we're going to ice the area. So this is when I say, yes, let's ice. We're going to ice for 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off, and repeat.
And would you do that if there was also discoloration in the swelling? Is it still okay?
It's okay. Now, if Okay. Yes.
Sorry, I threw a monkey wrench in.
Nope, that's okay. If the injury is in a limb, we're going to prop it up on pillows or something so that it's above your heart. And you can also apply compression to that area, so like an ACE wrap. And I have some tidbits there, like, you know, if your toes, say it's your ankle, your toes are turning purple with that compression, you need to loosen it up. Yeah. If you lose feeling in it, you need to loosen it up. And I like to, if you can, avoid anti-inflammatory medications. You don't need them to control pain. It can be beneficial to not use those because they delay healing a little bit, but they have their role, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts. Now, if you have something you're losing with, despite compression, if you're losing feeling in the limb, it is severe pain, you can't bear weight on it at all, these are things like we're going to urgent care, right? So we're talking about the thing that's like, well, I don't need to go to the emergency room for this. I don't suspect that I have broken this foot. Then these are the steps that we're going to take at home and then assess what's happening next.
And if I recall correctly from the podcast you did on anti-inflammatory medication.
Yes.
The time to take that might be if it's interrupting your sleep, because you need sleep to recover.
100%. So if you're tossing and turning and you can't sleep because the pain is so great, then yes, it has its place. Okay. All right. So that's the first 24 hours. Now we're going to enter stage two, which is 24 to 48 hours. And the goal in this stage is to promote healing. And we're doing that by decreasing the amount of inflammation and improving the blood flow. So we need the two things there. So at this point, we want to try to avoid bed rest at this point, right? Activity and movement is going to help the healing process. It just needs to be activity that's not creating more pain, right? And more inflammation. So we're going to encourage movement in a pain-free range of motion. We're going to refrain from activities that cause pain that's greater than a 3 out of 10 on that pain scale. And now we can start applying deep heat. And we can also alternate between heat and ice, because that would get that kind of ebb and flow. And then if you're needing help with pain control, I like to use an ice cup massage where it's directly on the area. And we'll put a link in the show notes for how to properly ice cup massage. And again, if you can avoid the anti-inflammatory meds, great. But just like we said in the previous stage, if you need them, take them. And I do like Epsom salt soaks. That's just the, like, either a hot tub soak or Epsom salt soak, you know, in the bathtub. And don't skimp on those salts. Just throw them in there. All right. Then we're going to enter the stage three. That's the acute or return to activity is tolerated. So stage three is 72 plus hours after the injury. And again, we want to continue to promote healing with deep heat and movements, and returning to activity is tolerated. That's the part that people need to really, really listen to, is the as tolerated. So what does that mean? It means we're not limping and gimping. If it hurts to walk, we're not going to run. You know, you have to be able to walk pain-free to be able to run pain-free. And it seems like that is such a simple thing to understand, but it's not easy to hear or do.
It is not. Cut. And it's not just during the activity, but it's also after the activity. So if it's like it feels okay during and then like things cool down and all of a sudden you can't move your ankle and you're like...
Oh my God, it's like you've been listening to me all these years.
When it only took 15 years and 4 choices for me to be able to say that.
When I hear a patient be able to explain that and parrot that back without, you know, that makes my heart so happy.
Ask me how I know.
Yeah. Experience. Okay. And so in this stage, if there's still, you know, an issue, there's still something that's going on, then this is when... this is when you're seeking, you know, outside help from a physical therapist. And, you know, you can go straight to a physical therapist. You don't have to go to the doctor first, you know, unless, again, you're suspecting a fracture or something that needs imaging or x-ray. And a lot of times in a physical therapy evaluation, we can assess that and say, oh yes, this does need imaging or it doesn't. But there's some great methods of treatment in the physical therapy world to help with this promotion of the healing process and the minimizing the inflammation and all that stuff. So dry needling is one of my favorite things to do. The high intensity laser therapy is awesome. And also having a physical therapist that specializes in your sport, your endurance sport is what we're talking about here, to help you resume your activity and your sport in an appropriate manner. Yeah. And a lot of times that is, you know, maybe you're going to need help with some mobility, some help with some scar tissue, some help with strength and stability, because we lose all those things. If you take my ankle sprain, for example, had I been at home, I was in South Carolina, so I didn't have access to my laser. But the first thing was that 24 hours, it was ice, rest, and elevate. And fortunately, I did not have any swelling. That ligament is so stretched out, it can go pretty darn far. The biggest thing that was a problem was just local bruising from and scraping of my hands. But as far as my ankle itself, it never turned black and blue. It didn't swell up. It was just a little sore, ice, done 24 hours, right? If I'd been at home the next, you know, probably at 72 hours, I would have, you know, like, let's help this with laser. Didn't even really need to go there. It's okay. But what I am working on now is restoring that proprioception and balance. And of course, resuming my strength exercises that I'm always doing for that. But when you have an injury like that, you disrupt that sense of where that joint is in space, and I have to like reteach it to do that. And you have a little bit of familiarity with that.
I do, unfortunately.
After your repair, you know, coming back from a broken foot, it's like, oh, well, the bone has healed. You're able to tolerate loading plyometrically, but there's this wobbliness in that ankle, you know, and in that foot, and you're having to work on that. Yeah, on our little mobile board that we like so much, and wobble boards and uneven surfaces and all that. So we just need to turn that back on. And so we're both working on that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So we will have a link in the show notes to the blog post that I have about this. There's a cute little drawing. What would you call this? A schematic?
Yeah, like a little diagram, but it's clear. It kind of summarizes it nicely.
Yeah, and it tells you, you know, if when to go to urgent care or the emergency room. So let's review that now, because we didn't do that. If you have a serious fall or accident, you want to go, because sometimes you don't necessarily feel right away that something has happened. Ding, 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 ding. Does that ring any bells for you?
I'm going to take a moment here with this, because I know we're talking about running, but, you know, and when you run and you hit really hard, but also some of those bike wrecks that aren't, like, you may not even have, like, fallen that hard, but you may not have anything that appears serious, but you've hit hard. It has taken me a long time to understand how the serious repercussions of not addressing what happens when your skeletal system gets knocked to shit.
Yeah.
And, like, things get twisted, and then it's, like, it takes, like, months for the stuff to show up. And it's like, you know, so I start to see people, like I have a client right now who had a really bad fall, and she fell into a wall and she twisted sideways, and it's been this whole thing, and I love her, and she is stubborn as heck, and now this thing has
what been, an athlete is stubborn.
We're going on 12 months now, and she just, and because finally, she relented and got some help she needed, but the way her head had hit in her, like, her whole skeletal system was twisted, and she kept running on it, and so then you're like, all those muscles are twisted, and it has caused things. So when you hit really hard, things get knocked, which makes sense, right?
Yep.
Like, you drop something on the floor, and it doesn't stay the way that, it doesn't matter what that hits the floor, it moves,
right.
And it's the same with our skeletal system, and it just, it's hard because you feel okay, but when you've hit really hard, you do yourself a favor and get that checked so that you are back in alignment before you start pounding on things.
Yeah. So we spoke about coming into physical therapy. If in that, you know, evaluation, we're in taking, like, okay, what was the mechanism of injury? What happened? If there's a fall involved, I don't even second guess it. If I am at all concerned about any sort of fracture, any, we're imaging.
Yeah.
Because, and that's just a red flag. Was it and that's exactly why it here is to go to urgent care or ER, is because if it was a fall or an accident, a lot of times we just don't know.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely a consideration there. If you have sudden or persistent weakness, so with an injury, that is another red flag for seeking urgent care. And I mentioned it briefly in the beginning, if we had irritability and the inability to support your weight on a limb. So we already mentioned that one. That's a trip to urgent care or ER. Uncontrolled swelling. So you've got the compression sleeve on, you've propped it up, you're using the ice, and it's uncontrolled. Usually sign of a fracture or something worse. So we need to, you're not controlling the inflammation. You need to seek help for that. There's a couple other things here. There's difficulty urinating. That's just a sign of need to go to the ER. Numbness, tingling in both legs, because then we're thinking, okay, spinal injury. That's both of those. And no bowel or bladder control. Again, we're talking about a spinal injury. And I mean, this happens with those severe accidents. So you think about falling off the bike and any of those things. Yep, that's a trip.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm the first person to be like, you know, it's just a flesh wound. You're like, right? Because I want to do everything I can to avoid the emergency room.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm like, the wait, you know, if you're not walking in with chest pains,
yeah.
You might be waiting a while,
yeah.
You know, and that sucks. And I think, is there any way I could not go?
Well, and it's, you know, and it's like, there's expense involved.
It's really time and just frustration.
Yeah.
And then what if you're just like, what if you went there for nothing? You kind of goes through your head.
Yeah.
And, any of those bullet points, things that we mentioned there, that's safe bet is to go.
Yeah.
It's better safe than sorry. So there you go, people.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.